Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker. I'm Gary Nolan, sitting in for Ryan Recker. And, boy, we got a lot of stories that we want to cover tonight. I just sort of trying to familiarize myself with the loop trolley. The story in the news is that it's already taken off a mirror off a parked car. Public transportation is one of my pet peeves. I hate public transportation. My name is Gary Nolan, and the telephone number here, if you've got a moment to dial, we'd love to hear from you at 314-436-7900. Toll-free number is 800-925-1120. I hate public transportation. It's a terrible idea. I'm not saying the loop trolley is going to be a failure or anything like that. I'm just saying in general, I hate public transportation. Public transportation is a failed economic model. It's a failed economic model since probably the early 1950s, maybe the mid-1950s, and from then on, it has been downhill. You see, back then, public transportation, you had families with no car. If they were comfortable financially, they might have one car. Practically everybody else had to rely on public transportation. So it was profitable. The private industry was in there making a good deal of money, moving people from point A to point B. But then the prosperous years started to kick in. Autos became more affordable. People started having two cars. By the time their kids were 16, 17, they were getting cars for themselves. Now everybody has a car. And very few people use public transportation. Nowhere near enough people use it to pay for it. So the federal government kicks in a bunch of money, and states and communities across the country subsidize public transportation. Because if you had to pay what it costs to provide, it would be cost prohibitive. Now, if you got rid of public transportation, the private marketplace would fill the void in a matter of probably days. Some enterprising entrepreneur without government interference would come up with an alternate public transportation plan. It would be affordable. It would probably be more flexible. And it wouldn't require any government subsidies. So think about how much you're paying in taxes. And think, every time there's a new government program or an old one that can be gotten rid of, that we don't get rid of, it costs you money. So I'm going to throw this out there because I'm curious to see if anybody else out there thinks public transportation is a terrible waste of money. Or if you can convince me that we should continue to underwrite it. 314-436-7900. Or toll-free 800-925-1120. We'll talk about the national debt. It's in the news again. It was in the Wall Street Journal. That's coming up today. Tucker Carlson in the news. We'll kick that story around just a tad. We've got CNN explosion. CNN is actually suing President Trump. It's a stupid lawsuit. It's not going to be fruitful for them at all, but they're trying. All right, let's see. Let's go to the phones. We'll get a quick phone call in here. Howard, welcome. Glad to have you on Overnight America. How are you?
Thank you very, very much. Pretty good. I just wanted to stick up for public transportation a little bit. I am from St. Louis, but I lived most of my life in Washington D.C. and I have never had to have a car there. I could have afforded a car, but although it was a lot of the other costs that that have dissuaded me from doing that. And I like public transportation. I think the system in St. Louis Metrolink was an extremely cost-effective system because a lot of the track was still there. But I, frankly, I would have moved back to St. Louis quicker if I didn't have to have a car. But you have to have a car in St. Louis pretty
well. Now I lived in Washington D.C. too, and I used to work in D.C. and I had my own transport.
Property values were like around that metro.
Well, here's But here's my question: because you didn't want to invest in your own vehicle, why did I, compelled by government, have to invest in your transportation?
Because, well, I pay taxes like you do.
Yeah, but you're not paying.
I would rather have the government invest in public transportation.
The government doesn't. The government doesn't invest in anything. The government has no money of its own. The only money the government has is the money it takes from you and me. And they took my money to provide you a ride. Why is that morally all right?
And they took my money to provide you with a road to drive on.
No, I paid gasoline tax. I paid license fees and appropriately, I might add. But I didn't ride the public transportation, but I was compelled to pay for it. All right, I think it's morally wrong. If you bought a vehicle and drove and paid your own way, I'd have been happier. But it's way more expensive than you pay for a ride. All right, I appreciate the call. Glad to have you on Overnight America. Jim, welcome. Glad to have you on Overnight America. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I agree with you. It's a joke. They need to privatize it. Bring the costs down. They could probably actually make money. And also, look at Amtrak. That's another money waster. That needs to be privatized.
Yes.
You might actually get something out of it.
Right. You know, in New York City, because they couldn't continue to afford to underwrite all of the bus routes, it was so expensive that even with federal and state and other government subsidies, it wouldn't cover the cost. They simply dropped some of those routes. And instantly, entrepreneurs started picking up passengers and actually gave them a better ride because they could take them to the door. And it cost less. Interestingly, the reason those independent entrepreneurs went out of business is the union. The union killed those jobs in New York City. Jim, we got another Jim. Jim, welcome. You're Jim number two. Glad to have you on Overnight America. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I live in the Metro East, and I drive by pretty regularly and see the Metrolink train going to Scott Air Force Base completely empty. And it really shows up at night, you know, after dark. When you see that train go by over and over and over again, there's nobody on it.
Yeah, everybody's got a car.
And then lots of times I see the same thing with the Metro bus system. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are people that need it and use it. But it just behooves me when I see a great big vehicle like that, a great big bus, and we're paying somebody to drive it, and there's one or two people on there. Same way with a train. I mean, how could you, you know, airlines wouldn't run with one or two passengers in private industry. You just wouldn't do that. You would, you know, if there wasn't enough demand, the supply would go away.
It's just a failed economic model. It hasn't worked since the 1950s, maybe the early 60s. And that's when all these bus companies, public transportation, started to go out of business. And then the government jumped in and subsidized them. Kind of reminds me of a Reagan quote, frankly. All right, Jim, thank you for the call. Glad to have you on Overnight America. Your opinions count. 314-436-7900, toll free 800 925-1120. You're listening to News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Stay connected. Stay informed. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. KMOX. Depend on it.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it.
Hey, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Ryan. We're talking about public transportation, this new trolley loop, which is costing $25 million just in federal money. Just in federal money. Now, a couple of observations, because I don't like public transportation. If it turns out to be an abysmal failure and a big loser, it will never go out of business. If it were the private marketplace, it was a private investment, a couple of banks get together and say to this guy, I like your idea, let's build this thing, and it goes awry, not enough customers ride it, well, then it goes out of business and it disappears. But as long as the government subsidizes it, it will never go away. Public transportation in general should go away. It relies on tax dollars to pay for your ride. And I think it's immoral that I should be compelled to pay for your ride. Maybe I can save that money and get my kids a new sweater for school this winter or who knows what. But I shouldn't have to pay for your ride. Failed economic model. When do we get rid of the damn thing? Rich, welcome. Glad to have you on KMOX. How are you?
All right. Got a question for you.
Yeah.
How is somebody supposed to get to and from work that makes less than $9-$10 an hour?
Well, it's good that you ask that question. First answer is there would be free market solutions, like there were in New York City, where these people bought these vans and went right to work providing better transportation. It was actually door-to-door instead of, you know, I got to walk 14 blocks or 3 blocks or whatever. And they were smaller vehicles. They cost less to operate, and the prices were reasonable. But just because they can't, I'm going to go on the other side of this, Rich, just because they can't afford to, why is it I have to? I mean, this trolley is $25 million. People in Poughkeepsie are paying for the trolley in St. Louis. How's that fair?
Well, then don't spend $25 million. Use a couple of city buses on that route.
You know, the problem here is that even the city buses cost more to operate than people are willing to pay for the service.
So then you would, if they can't get to work, you would just call them no good, worthless bums.
No, see, now you put those words in my mouth, and I never said anything like that. I said that the private marketplace would fill the void. Nature abhors a vacuum. They would do what they did on those routes in New York City, and they would come up with better alternatives. But they wouldn't need government subsidies, and the government, of course, is able to subsidize because they take my money.
Well, why should the city of St. Louis pay for Busch Stadium?
They shouldn't.
Tell the Cardinals, either build your own stadium or get the heck out of town.
You're right. No argument from me. No, you're absolutely right. Stadiums are a loser. Study after study shows that stadiums cost the city money. They don't create the jobs that they say they will, and they cost the city money. But what would happen if those billionaire owners built their own stadium? They wouldn't be so quick to abandon that real estate, would they?
Well, again, companies that start thinking about moving to a city, if you don't have good roads, good bridges, good public transportation, they're going to look at you and say, I don't think so.
I never said anything about roads. I never said anything about bridges. And I said there would be alternative transportation provided by the free market, which would be even more affordable. So it's a plus plus. Rich, thank you for the call. Glad to have you on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Let me go down to Ed. Ed, welcome. Glad to have you on KMOX. How are you?
I'm very good, but you may take those words back about being happy to hear, because I agree with Rich, and I agreed with your first caller. And I wish this attitude you have, immoral, how about for the greater good versus your narcissistic approach to what is needed? It's more than just a trolley. You know, it's It's like a feather in our cap. It's cute. It's marketing. It's to get those conventions that Rich was talking about. And frankly, sir, I rode streetcars in the 50s and buses in the at Bi-State. And I don't know where you're getting this privatization. Those were not private companies. I happen to know, and I know that this $25 million, sir, you really need to do some homework on the $25 million. It is not all federal money. Please look into it. I can give you sources.
All right, you don't have to give me sources. I'm reading the story right here. Let's see which one of us is right. The major funding source for the $51 million Loop Trolley project is a $25 million Federal Transit Administration, FTA, Urban Circular Grant. So I'm right there. Two, I'm also right about public transportation in the 40s and 50s being privately owned.
What companies? Because I rode them, sir, and I know the people that worked on the streetcars at Grand and Chippewa, and I rode them to Busch Stadium, sir. And then how did we get to high school? We took Bi-State in high school in the 60s.
Well, so, I'm not an expert on St. Louis. Relax. Take it easy, Ed. I'm not talking about I'm not an expert on St. Louis public transportation, but in most major cities, they were privately owned, and when they started to fail, the government took them over and subsidized them. And now the federal government is doing this because they cost so much more to operate than they're worth that nobody will pay the piper. Nobody will pay the price needed to cover the cost of their own transportation. So I think it's immoral to take money from people in New York and force them to pay for our little trolley down here in St. Louis. All right, appreciate the call, Ed. Thank you. Glad to have you on. Marcia, welcome. Glad to have you on KMOX.
Okay, am I ready to talk?
You are.
Okay, I'm 82 years old, all right? And when I first start working, I did work downtown, and I worked for public service, okay? And that was the name of our transportation. If I wouldn't have had a bus to go down to my job, there was no way could I get to work. Because nobody had cars, and they didn't carpool. So, going to high school, I couldn't have went to the high school I went to if I wouldn't have had a bus.
How do you know, Marcia, that the private marketplace, if the government weren't subsidizing public transportation, that the private marketplace wouldn't have provided you with better, more efficient transportation than what you had?
Well, I can't complain. I mean, the buses ran every 15 minutes, and it was
How
great.
Full were those buses?
Huh?
How full were those buses when
they
you were running?
They were nice buses.
Were they were full? Were they nice?
Yes,
and
yeah. Definitely.
Have you seen the buses today driving through St. Louis?
No, I haven't.
Well, take a look. They're empty.
I don't live in the city. I live in the county.
All right.
And I don't see any buses going by my house.
Yeah.
Because
the demand is gone. People have cars.
Wow.
And we're still...
they say in the 80s, people start carpooling.
All right.
For different companies, that they all got together. Because at that time, some of the buses didn't even run out to these factories.
All right. Marcia, thank you very much. We now have Ron, who remembers, or knows anyway, when transportation in St. Louis was privately owned. Ron, welcome.
Yes,
how are
indeed.
You?
Just fine, thank you. The transition was in the early 60s. Before then, we had St. Louis Public Service Company, which was a private company. Matter of fact, it's one of its major garages was right behind Cardinal Glennon Hospital area there. Service in the early 50s, you could go down to Grand Avenue, and if you missed one streetcar, you could see three more coming at you, and they were all full, or effectively full.
Yeah.
They had room for a few more. But because of the decline in ridership, Bi-State then bought, basically, St. Louis Public Service and another company that was known as County Transit or County Public Service, and consolidated those, and ridership continued to go down from that point on.
Time to save the taxpayers' money. Let the private marketplace slip in place of this.
and serve where the need is, not just everywhere that they happen to want to go.
Absolutely. Ron, thank you for the call. Glad to have you on Overnight America. You're listening to News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
Well, actually, it's Gary Nolan. Ryan is he's put in double time on earlier in the day, but I am here and love to hear from you. Telephone number 314-436-7900. Toll-free number 800-925-1120. We've been talking about public transportation. The Loop, a $51 million boondoggle that I think is simply going to be subsidized forever. Taxpayers will be on the hook for this thing, and it'll be a loser. It's going to start off okay. People will go down there and hop on this thing, and gee, this is wonderful. What a great ride. And about 6 months from now, it's going to start to change. It's going to be in the way in traffic. People are going to be upset. They're going to be screaming and blowing their horns. Fewer and fewer people will ride it, but it won't go away. That's the problem with the government subsidizing what belongs in the private marketplace. It never goes away. Let's kind of flip things over to the other side of the state, because as you can probably tell, I don't particularly care for big government because the outcomes are always so horrible. And over in Kansas City, this wonderful group of people were trying to feed the homeless. You think that's a wonderful idea? They cook all these foods and meals, sandwiches and soups, and then they go to the park, and then hungry people who are homeless go there and get a free meal. It warms them up on a cold day. What kindness. What generosity. How wonderful is that? But let me tell you what happened. A bunch of heathens, a bunch of lowlifes, rushed these people who were providing this food. And they poured bleach on the food. And they destroyed all of the food. They threw it out, soiled it, poured bleach on it. So this wonderful, generous offer for homeless people couldn't be taken advantage of. Now, you'd think to yourself, who would do a thing like that? You might even think to yourself, we should call the police. The problem is it was the police. Now, don't get me wrong, law enforcement aren't the kinds of people who like to run around destroying food and making the poor starve. But the city commanded them to do it, and of course they did what they were told. The group is called Free Hot Soup. They apparently don't have a permit to feed the homeless. So the city sent the police over there to destroy all of the food. You see, apparently, and this is one of the reasons we have so many laws, people in government think you're too stupid. That's why they write all these laws. They think you're too stupid. They think, for instance, that the people who are preparing these foods are stupid. They'll not prepare them safely, or they'll let them spoil, or some kind of cooties will get on the food. And so you have to have a permit. You have to have the government's permission to cook food for the homeless in Kansas City. I don't know about you, but I think this is outrageous. I think this is pathetic. How could they possibly... I mean, look, if they invited them over to their house, they would feed them the same food. The government, I assume, would be powerless to stop them. But they can't. They have to have permits. And in order to have permits, you apparently have to take classes. And then you have to have your kitchen inspected. And then you can go make food and serve it to the poor. So instead, they can just forego the hot meal and they can subsist on dumpster diving. Because that's so much better alternative than having the food police come out and let you serve food. The city can't allow food to be served publicly without affirming that the preparers are trained in safe food management, proper temperature controls, and other defenses against contamination, and have an inspected kitchen. Free Hot Soup's food comes from volunteers. They choose to help out when they can. There is no feasible way for the group to ensure that every kitchen where the food might be prepared has been inspected, but they didn't care. They just destroyed all that food. Government isn't a solution. Government is a problem. Government has one role. Really, the main role is to protect us from one another. Some may argue, well, they could build roads or things like that, and you know, there's a kind of a libertarian view about that, but I'm willing to put up with the roads as long as I pay for what the cost is. As long as we're each charged enough to pay for the road, I don't care. But when they start writing laws to protect you from yourself, then they've got a problem. And the audacity, the hubris of the city to tell these people you can't feed the homeless, and not just to say you can't do it, but to destroy it. I mean, these people could have taken this food home with them, maybe invited people over to their house. What happens if you have a picnic in Kansas City at a public park and you invite a bunch of friends and family over for a picnic? Can the health department go over there and pour bleach on your food at the picnic and say, well, we don't know where you prepared the food? This is an outrage. Somebody needs to take these people to task. Someone needs to say this is enough. When a charitable organization is trying to feed the poor, leave them alone. I don't know. It's one of those stories that just, it frosts my buns. It just really does irritate the hell out of me. Just another reason not to like big government. All right, we got a couple other things here that I need to cover, and I will, in fact, coming up in the next break, talk about Tucker Carlson. He is in the news, and we'll do that next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
KMOX stands for news.
Hey, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Ryan Recker. If you just turned the radio on, I just told a gruesome and brutal story about Kansas City, where a group of wonderful people get together and they make all kinds of soup and hot sandwiches and food for hungry people, for homeless people on the streets. And they use social media to let them know where they're going to be, and then these people feed them. Except this time they were interrupted. The government came in and said, you can't do that. You don't have a permit. And they poured bleach on the food, and they threw the food out and destroyed the food so that nobody could consume it. And I'm just seething about this. You know, at the very least, they could have said, you know what, we're not going to let you do this. Take your food and go home. They could have invited these people back to their house. Instead, they wasted the food, wasted the effort. Something is wrong with a city that does that. But then it is Kansas City, and they're awfully close to Kansas, so, you know, who knows. Anyway, Adam is on the line if you'd like to join us, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Adam, welcome to Overnight America. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. A little bit aggravated about that stuff over there in Kansas, but doing otherwise.
It's so stupid to do that.
Yeah, and quite frankly, as far as I can tell myself, it's more or less the government can't make money off of this school serving food to the homeless of all people. So, therefore, they're going to shut it down in the worst way possible.
It's just ugly. It's just ugly. You know what? Take your food and go home would have been distasteful, but at least not so ugly.
Yeah.
I don't know. People do good things. No good deed goes unpunished, huh?
And nowadays, unfortunately, that's true.
It certainly is. Adam, thank you for the call. Glad to have you on Overnight America. While we're talking about Kansas City, because I'm kind of on a roll on Kansas City. I don't want to pick on St. Louis, just Kansas City. This is another one of those stupid people. Now, let me point something out to you here before I get too deeply into this. I live in a bubble. I'm a conservative libertarian. I believe in limited constitutional government. And as such, I don't hang around with a lot of leftists, a lot of progressives. So I'm going to pose a question here, and if you're a progressive or a liberal, I would encourage you to help me, you know, come out of my bubble and explain this to me. Because I'm not familiar with this happening on the other side of the fence. So let me explain what's going on. There is a student at Kansas State who said there was a note left on his apartment door. And I really can't read the note on the... I read the note, more of the note anyway, on my program earlier today, but I'm not going to take a chance on doing that on KMOX. But the letter said, beware, the N-words live here. Knock at your own risk. Beware, the N-words live here. Knock at your own risk. The student is black. And as it turns out, he wrote the note. He came up with this song and dance about racism and how it isn't going to stop him from voting and, you know, really an inspirational message in spite of having this horrible note posted on his door. He wrote the note. Well, like, you know what, I got here and I was expecting some kind of racial tension. I didn't see it, so I thought, well, it must be happening, so I'll just, you know, make this up. I don't know what was going through his... I don't know what was going through his mind. I have no idea. But I remember in Columbia that a black student said the Ku Klux Klan was coming over and that somebody had said something racist. There was a student up in Boston. She was in the school library. They were holding a meeting. She went outside of the meeting, sent herself a text that was racially charged, and then came into the meeting and said, oh, look at this horrible message. There are stories like this that I keep seeing pop up on the left all the time. Like I said, I think I live in a bubble. I am sure that people on the right must do something like this too. I just don't get exposed to it because I live in a bubble. So if you're a Democrat or a progressive or a liberal, and you have stories like the ones I just mentioned, where some Republican, you know, said, you know, I'm a black conservative and somebody posted this sign on my door calling me the N-word. If you got a story like that, would you do me a favor and give me a call and share it? Because I'm not hearing those stories. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Let me throw one more question out there. What do you think was the motivation for that? 314-436-7900 or toll free 800-925-1120. What do you suspect was the motivation for this kid, black student, to write this horribly racist note and post it on his door and come out screaming like a victim of racism? Oh, look what they've done. What was the point of that? What did he have to gain from that? Is it like Munchausen? You know, Munchausen by proxy? Somebody else got, a nasty, ugly, racist letter, so I have to have one too. I don't know. I don't know. But if you're a progressive and you have a story about conservatives doing the same sort of thing, by all means, give us a call. If you think you understand the motivation for this, by all means, give me a call. 314-436-7900 or toll-free 800-925-1120. Am I hearing, is that music I'm hearing? No. Okay. Just want to make sure. Let me know. What possible motive does this kid have? What is the gain in this? You do things like that, you expect some kind of a, some kind of a positive response, something that's rewarding. There's got to be some pat on the back. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Why are these people doing this? Is it because they expect more racism and it's not there? And I believe racism exists. There is no doubt in my mind it exists. Why would you want to invent a story like that? What would you have to gain from a story like that? I think myself perspicacious. I think that I study current events. I can't figure it out. I don't know what the motive is. So if you think you can explain it, I'm all ears. This is the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.